Warning, the following podcast may prove to be informative and educational, but it is guaranteed to be entertaining. Welcome to Trivial Warfare, the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. Now here's your host, Jonathan Oakes.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Trivial Warfare. We are the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. My name's Jonathan, and I am here today with Ben.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, man. It's good to see you.
Good to see you.
I'm here today with Chris. Hello, Chris.
Gentlemen, it's good to see you again. Hello.
I love Chris's robot voice when he says hello. He's like, hello.
I thought I had a little inflection in my voice. I didn't realize I was Mr.
Roboto. Opposite of inflection, actually.
Oh, well.
Hello, gentlemen. I am Solomon Grundy.
And I was born on a Monday. What?
And today, we have a special guest. We have Josh Wenrick. Josh, did I pronounce your name right?
You did. Good morning, guys.
Good morning,
Josh.
Welcome to the show. Now, Josh, where are you playing from today?
I am playing in Alexandria, Virginia, just outside of Washington, D.C.
Very nice. Now, Josh, before this show started, we were talking, and we learned that you are current military. You're a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Air Force. First of all, let's stop there. Pause for a second. Woo-hoo. Let's give a round of applause for the man.
That is outstanding.
Love that. Thank you so much. Now, tell us what you do.
Right now, I'm working in the National Capital Region, working. I am a logistics officer, so I just deal with the aircraft supply and maintenance, but I've been here for about a year and a half. I've been assigned all over the world to include Saudi Arabia and the United Kingdom. So it's been a fun ride so far, and I got a couple more years to go, and just looking forward to see what happens over the next couple years and where the Air Force might take me next.
Are you going for your first 20? Are you at like 17, 18 right now?
Oh, yeah, I'm close. Yeah, I've been in for about 16 years, so.
Good job. That's awesome.
Can't complain.
Love that, man. All right, so that's cool. Another thing that's cool.
We have other stuff that's cool?
We have other stuff that's cool. Man. You guys know I threw down a gauntlet of my own referencing the final question. I threw down a gauntlet a few weeks ago. And I said, hey, guys, if we maintain a pace and if we kind of pump up the pace a little bit in terms of the number of people listening, we could get to 500,000 before the end of the year. 500,000 downloads.
Right.
By the end of the year. So today, it is December 4th. No, it is December 3rd today.
Yes, it is.
We hit 500,000 yesterday.
Wow.
That's awesome.
December 2nd.
So we exceeded your goal.
We've blown way past my goal. I'm looking at our stat chart, and it's the craziest thing you've ever seen. We jumped from 200,000 at the beginning of September to 500,000 at the beginning of December. And we've had, and I say we, really, this is talking to all of you guys who are listening. You guys have downloaded this show 148,000 times in the last 30 days.
Wow.
So that's crazy new listeners
over the
world.
Thank you very much, guys.
Great job, guys.
We really appreciate our listeners. Thank you.
You guys are spreading the word. You're sharing it. You're letting people know about it. And it is obvious in the way that the show has been growing over the last few months. It is incredible.
They like us so much. They really, really like us.
It's amazing, dude. I'm pumped. I share the stuff with you guys all the time, and I'm just like, look at this.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of chest bumping going around yesterday, that's for sure.
Yeah. The statistician in me is like, man, this is unreal. Unreal, man.
But very cool. And it's all because of you guys. Thank you very, very much.
Absolutely. And when he says you guys, he's not talking to us. He's talking to you guys.
Yes. And yous guys.
You ladies and gentlemen.
And yous guys up north.
Yeah. What about utes? No, not utes, but utes.
We might have some utes watching.
Okay. Fair enough.
All right. So guys.
Yes, Jonathan.
That was a little feel good.
Yes.
Now it's time to warm it up. What up, Chris? I'm about to.
What up, Chris? That's what I was born into. So, gentlemen, this question comes from TWA listener and former guest, Patrick Smith.
Hey, Patrick.
Hey, thanks, Patrick.
We just had Patrick on the show not too long ago. Patrick is actually very good at trivia.
Yeah. Well, he came up with a pretty nice little warm it up, Chris, question because it's kind of tough. It was a little too tough to put in the show, but I thought it would be nicely for warm it up.
So, love it. Let's see it.
All right. He said, the following top 10 is a list of the United States cities with the highest African-American population, according to the 2010 U.S. Census.
No pressure, Ben.
I did not say that. I did not say that. So he wants you to name the top 10, and he gives a little side note. He said, this list only counts only those individuals who identify themselves as African-American, because remember, in the census, it's self-reported on if you want to put your race or not on there.
Okay.
Okay.
I have a clarifying question.
Okay, go ahead.
So are these like metropolitan areas? Is there any?
Nope, they're United States. They're the top 10 United States cities with the highest African-American population.
So in other words, Dallas-Fort Worth is Dallas or Fort Worth. It's not combined.
That's correct, yes.
Gotcha.
Okay, sorry. There's no metroplexes or Twin Cities or
gotcha.
Any of that. All right, so Josh, take it away for us.
I'll lead off with Chicago, sweet home Chicago.
Chicago, I like your style, and that is number 2 on the list with 913,000 African Americans. Well done, sir. Jonathan.
I'm going to go with New York City.
New York City, number 1 with over 2.2 million.
New York City.
So I'll go with the city that I know has a black majority, and that's Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C., number 9 on the list, 314,000. Well done, Ben.
Oh, dog. Hey, we got dogs, guys.
Oh, wow. My dogs are barking, and I don't mean my feet.
So if you got Josh, those are yours. What are your dogs' names?
I have 3 dogs. They're Phaedra, Electra, and Dakota.
A lot of us.
Cool names.
I like it.
All right, guys. So if you're listening, say hi to the dogs.
For real.
Because they just said hi to you.
Nice. All right, Josh, you're up next.
I'll go with Detroit.
Detroit, Ben's hometown, number 4 on the list with over 600,000.
I'm going to go with Atlanta.
Sorry, Jonathan, not on the list.
God, really?
Really, really.
Man.
All right, Ben.
Yeah, this is where it gets a little tough.
Again, remember, this is the 2010 census, so this could have changed over the last few years.
Ain't changing that fast.
I'm going to go with Cleveland, Ohio.
Omeo, Cleveland, Ohio is not on the list.
Omeo, you're wrong.
No soup for you.
So, all right. So, Josh, what do you got?
How about Memphis, Tennessee?
That is the one I thought would be the hardest, and you nailed it. Number 6 on the list with 414,000. Well done.
I've been trying to aim for the South, too. The obvious ones, of course, but then I wanted to go South. But now I'm going to go back North. I'm going to guess Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, number 3 on the list. Nice job, Jonathan. Nice. All right, so you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 out of the 10.
All right.
Mr. Ben.
Yeah, it's getting tougher now. Let's go with
It's not on the list.
Is bop?
I'm going to go with New Orleans, Louisiana.
It's coming up, bop.
Okay, so Jonathan chooses the whitest group in the world to sing her in this song.
He's trying to throw me off. New Orleans.
So. I'm sorry, New Orleans is not on the list.
I thought that was a good guess, dude, but they don't have a big population in New Orleans.
A lot of less people now, left, but very much
even then, it wasn't huge.
Yeah. All right, so Josh.
Well, I was going to guess New Orleans, so thank you, Ben.
Already working well as a team together.
How about St. Louis, Missouri?
That's a good one.
St. Louis, I'm sorry, is not on the list. Josh's first time not naming one. So
now East St. Louis has a whole lot of black people.
All right, I'm going to go big and guess Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, number 8 on the list. Well done.
Sheer population size right there.
Mr. Game Theory over here.
Hey, well.
Do you blame him?
No.
Got him an answer.
Let's go with, what are some other really big cities we haven't named yet? Let's go with Miami, Florida.
Miami, Florida is not on the list. Remember, Miami population-wise is not that big. It's not that big because, I mean, a lot of the counties around there, it's considered Miami, but it's not in Miami proper.
Really good point. Fort Lauderdale and Coral Gables and all that stuff down there.
Just shut your faces.
Okay, Carmella makes an appearance with the face comment.
Right?
So, you know what? It is your face. All right, Josh. We're going to do one more round, guys, and then we're going to finish up the question. So, Josh, you got something for us?
Reaching here. I'm going to say Raleigh, North Carolina.
I'm sorry, Raleigh is not on the list. Jonathan, you're up next.
I'm going to go with Oaktown. Give me Oakland.
Oakland, California? Not on the list. I'm sorry.
Hip-hop, you've abandoned me.
All right, Ben, can you finish up strong? I will tell you this. There's a couple pretty good-sized cities that are still on this list.
I imagine there are.
Three, four, five, six, seven. We've got three left. We've named Chicago, New York, D.C., Detroit, Memphis, Philadelphia, and Los Angeles.
So I'm thinking about big cities. So I'm thinking about Boston. I'm thinking about Minneapolis.
Dallas.
I'm thinking about Dallas. So I'm going to go with Dallas, Texas.
Dallas, Texas, number 10 on the list with 308,000. Well,
we should credit that to Jonathan.
So that was one I had written down.
I gave you that answer.
You did not. I had it written down.
Everybody
right
just heard that happen.
I just said that right that here.
Oh my goodness, you Jonathan! Of course, taking credit for other people's work. He did it. He did it with me at work all the time.
That's all not right even funny.
That was hilarious. Anyway, all right. So number one, New York. Number two, Chicago. Three, Philadelphia. Four, Detroit. Five, which you guys did not get, Houston, Texas.
Really?
Remember, that's the fourth largest city in the United States.
I didn't know that. Really?
Yeah, number four on the
And it's down there on the coast, down there near New Orleans, actually.
Yeah, all those wards over there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Number six, Memphis. Number seven, a little closer to Josh, Baltimore, Maryland. Eight, Los Angeles. Nine, Washington, D.C. And finally rounding it out, Ben's last answer, Dallas, Texas. And that, my friends, is your warming up Chris question of the episode.
That was a good one, Patrick.
Thank you very much, Patrick Smith.
Good. All right. Well, guys, today's game is going to be Josh and Ben versus Jonathan with Chris asking the questions. It is time to play the game.
Time to play the game!
Here's how it works. Our game is six rounds long, three questions per round, and each question is worth 10 points. There will be a midpoint question after round three that's worth 20 points. And when we get to the final question at the end of the game, you will be able to wager any or all of what you've earned throughout the game. If you're playing along at home, you can pause the game after each question to give yourself a chance to think about it and answer before listening to us. All right, guys, let's get started.
Chris did a little dance, by the way, when Jonathan said that.
And by dance, he means threw his hands in the air and did like rage pumps.
Absolutely. All right. So, again, it's going to be Josh and Ben against Jonathan, and this very first question in round one is in music.
All right, music.
And it comes from Ben and Jonathan and mine's buddy, Corey Douglas.
Oh, nice. Oh, thanks, Corey.
It's so, going to be I can already guess the answer to the question right now. I'm going to write down a preemptive answer.
All right, you can, and then just make sure you cross it out in a second. Anyway.
I'm going to put an X over it so we know what it was.
All right, fair enough. Can you name the popular rapper who has refused to sign a record deal with any label? This same artist has released three albums for free and is one of the few independent artists ever to be nominated for a Grammy.
I'll write down my answer.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm locked in.
Okay. So, Josh, Ben, go ahead and talk it out.
Yeah.
Ben, I'm afraid you're on your own here. I can't think of anybody who comes to mind for me.
So I'll tell you, Corey is a very good friend of mine, and he is absolutely obsessed with the Wu-Tang Clan. Like, just
we both wrote
obsessed
down Wu-Tang Clan.
Yes, we did.
In advance.
We did. We wrote it down funny in advance. So my guess is going to be a member of the Wu-Tang Clan, and I was leaning towards RZA because I seem to remember that he wrote a soundtrack for a movie. I want to say it was the movie. It was that martial arts movie that had all those people in it. I think it was Steven Seagal and I can't really remember. But there was a movie that came out a few years ago that had like RZA and Steven Seagal and a whole bunch of people in it.
I think it was like the Man
RZA
with the
did the Man
Fist
with the Iron Fist.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm thinking about.
Okay.
So, but did he get nominated for the Grammy for that? He's the only one that I would know of.
Yeah, but, I'm afraid rap is just not my forte, so I'll put it in your capable hands, Ben.
Ben's like, rap's not my forte either. I like gospel.
Yeah, I like gospel rap.
I used to listen to rapper Forte. There was a rapper by the name of Forte.
You know what? I'm just going to kind of take a right turn here and go with Ghostface Killah.
Okay. Is that your final answer, sir?
Yep, final answer.
Mr. Oaks.
So I wrote down an answer that I feel confident, even if it's not the answer you have, it fits all the categories, so I'll fight for it. I said Macklemore.
Macklemore?
Because he's the independent artist. He raps about being independent. He wrote a song about being at the Grammys and how fake everybody at the Grammys was.
But I think he has a label.
No.
Well, you'll have to double check on that. The answer is Chance the Rapper.
Chance the Rapper.
Yep.
So Macklemore doesn't have a label. He writes songs about not having a label.
Well, because Ryan Lewis and him, that was on a label. That album that came out was on a label.
Independent. I'll look right now.
But did he also have the same artist that released three albums for free, which I know is not true because I paid for Macklemore and Ryan Lewis's album.
And released for free, meaning the listeners didn't have to pay for it?
That's correct.
Oh, that's not going to fit then.
And only one of the few independent artists ever nominated for a Grammy. There was like three clues and one in the question. I think Corey got you on that.
I think he might have. I can't argue the for free part. You got me there. Corey, you turd.
Wow. So 10 points to Corey Douglas.
All right.
Darn it.
Okay.
I thought I had it, Ben. I thought I had it.
That was a great guess.
Ugh.
So I was wondering if that was going to be too hard of a question. So, I mean, the last time I hosted, it was a pretty easy episode for you guys.
That's a perfectly fair question.
I brought the thunder today. Okay. I brought the thunder. All right. Question two for you guys. The category is Olympians.
Okay.
Can you name one of the two female basketball players that are the most decorated U.S. Olympic women in a team event with 4 gold medals each?
Say it again, please, the whole thing?
Absolutely. Name one of the two female basketball players that are the most decorated U.S. Olympic women in a team event with 4 gold medals each.
Basketball, right?
Yes, basketball. Well, it's really Olympians, but to give you guys a clue, I put basketball players on there.
There are 3 names kicking around in my head. I feel like it has to be one of these 3. Darn. I've written down my answer. Probably going to miss it. Feeling bad.
All right. So this is one of my stronger suits, Josh, but I want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, I wrote down 3 names. Well, 2.5 names. There's a female basketball player, Leslie something. So that was one. I think the other one is it Cheryl Swopes? I think there's Cheryl Swopes or Cheryl Miller. I know Cheryl Miller is a basketball player, Reggie Miller's sister. I don't know if she won any Olympic medals.
I think she might have won one back in like the 80s.
Okay.
So yeah, Cheryl Miller. There's also Cheryl Swopes.
Okay. I did have Cheryl Swopes then. I don't think
that Leslie Swopes or Miller played in enough Olympics to rack up 4 medals. Now, one name that I'm pretty confident about is Diana Taurasi, because she is what my brother-in-law refers to her as the greatest female basketball player of all time. And I completely agree with him. And I know that she has played in a ton of Olympics, and I'm pretty sure that she's got 4. So I'm feeling pretty confident about Diana Taurasi.
You're bringing the thunder, so I'm good with that.
All right, we'll lock in Diana Taurasi.
All right, Jonathan.
So I thought about Candace Parker, and I felt like she's too young. I thought about Diana Taurasi, but I felt like she's too young because 4 golds means 16 years apart. That would have meant Taurasi would have had to be at least in the middle of her college career 16 years ago in 2000. That didn't feel right to me, or I would have guessed her, because I agree, she's amazing. I wrote down the names that you guys talked about at first, Miller, Leslie, and Swopes. Swoops. I ended up going with Leslie, but obviously it could be wrong.
Well, 4 Olympics would be 12 years. 16, 12, 8, 4. So 2004, 2016 would be 12
years. No, you're right. Yeah, it could have been. Good point.
Okay.
Answer, sir.
My math.
So Diana Taurasi has 3.
Oh!
The right answer is Teresa Edwards and Lisa Leslie.
Sorry, Josh.
Yeah, baby. So, yeah.
Anyway, Teresa Edwards was a player in the 90s, and basically she played up until 2000 in the Olympics, and then she won 4 medals, and then also Lisa Leslie was from 2000 on, and she, or actually, I think it was 96 on. She retired in 2009 from competitive basketball.
So Taurasi,
she's going to she's going to get to tie next time. Yeah,
yeah.
She's incredible.
Logic was good though. Yeah. Boy, I'm super pumped. Wow.
Well done, Jonathan. Got a basketball question right. Man, I'm shocked.
What?
All right.
What?
Shocked?
What? Shocked?
Don't be shocked.
All right.
Basketball?
You should be more shocked that I got it wrong.
True. Well, I am a little shocked.
I'm not shocked you got it wrong.
Because I felt confident. I felt confident in asking a basketball question when I saw Ben in the room. He's not stereotyping at all. Well, no. Ben has honestly said that he is a basketball aficionado, except for that question.
So this reminds
There's a difference between professional basketball and Olympic basketball. So those are different categories.
So this reminds me of a story I heard once about Junior Seau and LaDainian Tomlinson when they were teammates for the Chargers.
Okay.
And LaDainian was having a – he was just in a bad mood, and the reporters were interviewing Junior Seau. And so Junior Seau says, oh, he'll be all right, man. Just give him some fried chicken and some watermelon. He'll feel better. And everyone thought that he was being super racist. Well, turns out LaDainian Tomlinson legitimately that was his two favorite foods, watermelon and fried chicken. Like, you were saying, I was like, just give him his favorite food and he'll be fine. So it just turned out to be like a really funny situation.
That's funny. That's really funny. All right. So your third question in the first round is society life.
Okay.
That's the category.
All right.
All right. What sticky food dish did Harvard's famous theatrical society take its name from?
Please repeat the question.
Yes, sir. What sticky food dish did Harvard's famous theatrical society take its name from?
Sticky food dish.
Yep.
The Molasses Society. That doesn't feel right, Ben. I gotta, you guys, after 90 plus episodes, you guys probably know that I'm not very good with the Ivy League stuff. So that's not helping at all here. I have to try and approach this from the food angle. I can't think of a sticky food dish that sounds reasonable. I can think of sticky foods.
Mm.
Chicken and waffles comes to mind. But I am certain that Harvard didn't name their theater group the Chicken and Waffle Society.
That would be awesome. Hashtag just saying.
Oh my gosh. I'm just going to write down a wrong answer. Nothing's coming to mind right now.
You're blanking out a little bit?
I'm blanking big time. It's so wrong. I'm locked in. This is terrible. I'm so glad I got Leslie right. Otherwise, I'd be getting shut out this round.
All right. Josh and Ben, what do you got for me?
What are you thinking, Josh?
Well, I remember they give out certain awards to, to famous actors. And the food that's coming to mind is Hasty Pudding Society. I don't know if that's a sticky. I mean, pudding, I think, is naturally sticky. I don't really know what hasty pudding is. But that is what's echoing.
To his credit,
my ears.
That does sound elitist.
It does sound elitist. Only thing I come up with was French toast. I was like, oh, that's a sticky thing that sounds elitist. But
well, it does have French in the title.
If you, but I mean, yeah. I think we should go with your answer.
I'm confident. I think it's some sort of pudding variety that they named out. It may not be hasty pudding, but I think I'm fairly confident that that's in the right ballpark.
Yeah, let's go with it.
All right, so hasty pudding.
Hasty pudding. Okay. This society was founded.
Hey, do I get to give an answer?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm not saying my answer is good.
Okay,
but typically I get to give one before you start reading.
I'm sorry, I messed up. I apologize.
You know what I should have done? I should have let him do it, and then just said the answer whatever he gave. I said that classic of sticky treats, the Honey Bun Society.
Oh, okay, very nice. All right. Well, this society was founded on September 1st, 1795. It has had four U.S. presidents that have called themselves part of it. John Adams, John Quincy Adams, Teddy Roosevelt, and John F. Kennedy. And it is known as the Hasty Pudding Society.
Nice. Good job, Josh.
Hasty Pudding.
It could be either called the Hasty Pudding Club or Hasty Pudding Society.
I actually thought about Figgy Pudding.
Bring it right here.
Pudding. Yeah, but that wouldn't have been
figgy
right.
Figgy Pudding. All right. All right. Yeah. So after round one, Josh and Ben, Jonathan, you both are tied at 10 points each.
Yeah. I put my basketball knowledge against their elitist knowledge.
There you go.
All right, but nice job, Josh. That was good. That was a good get. Your category is in U.S. geography.
Okay.
All right.
The question is, what city in Kentucky owes its name to a historical town in Massachusetts?
Ben, I'm fairly confident that I know this answer. I think we can
Okay. Well, I'll go with you.
I'll lock in.
All right.
All right. Oh, you're locking in?
I'm good.
All right. Jonathan, go ahead, sir.
So I don't know much about Kentucky. Okay. I don't know much trigonometry either. Don't know much about science books. Don't know much about the French I took. Sorry, it got rolled in there.
That's all right. I was going to say, don't finish up the lyrics, though. It's a long song.
So, Louisville is in Kentucky, or Louisville, or Louisville.
Louisville.
Louisville. The only thing that's really sticking out is Frankfort. I can't think of many cities in Kentucky, but Frankfort sounds like it could have ties to the Northeast for no better reason than no reason at all. So I'm guessing Frankfort.
Okay. All right. Josh, what's your answer, sir?
Well, I went to my revolutionary history in Lexington, Massachusetts. So I went down with Lexington, Kentucky.
That's a really good answer.
All right. The name commemorates the first battle of the American Revolution in Lexington, Massachusetts. The answer is Lexington, Kentucky.
That's awesome.
I didn't job, think Josh. Of the city of Lexington. It didn't come to mind as a place in Kentucky for me.
Right.
As soon as you said it, it's like, well, that's obvious. Darn it.
So the thing here is, you know, if Josh hadn't known that for sure, I may have been, I've gotten to it if I thought about sports, because mm-hmm. the Wildcats of Kentucky play in Lexington.
That's where it is, yeah.
So if I had won that route, I would have got, but I don't think I would have got it.
Rock on, but good job, Josh. Good job. All right. Round two, question two is in movies, and it's a director tri-bond.
Shoot.
So I'm going to give you three movies, and I want you to tell me who directed all three of these movies.
Okay.
All right. The three movies are Flight, The Polar Express, and Who Framed Roger Rabbit? I'm looking for the director. Flight, The Polar Express, and Who Framed Roger Rabbit? And I put Who Framed Roger Rabbit just so that we can get Jonathan's Roger Rabbit impersonation, which is great.
You're not getting it.
I'm not giving it to you. I
shave
genuinely
and
like
a
it.
Haircut.
I don't know any directors. I'm so bad at directing. I have no idea. This is not going to end well.
I realized we didn't have very many director questions in the show.
And so there's a reason. Because Jonathan can't answer them. When you said Polar Express, I thought, huh, I wonder if Tom Hanks did that. When you said Who Framed Roger Rabbit, it's like, nope, not Tom Hanks.
And you know they're not locked in, right?
Yes, I know.
Okay, just making sure.
I had no fear that I was going to give away a wrong answer.
Understood.
Or a right answer. All right, I've written down my wrong answer.
Okay. Josh and Ben, what do you got?
I don't have
you
much,
have anything,
Josh.
Ben?
So, for whatever reason, the name Zemeckis popped into my head. But I have no idea if it's right or not.
Well, that's the name that popped into my head, too, is Robert Zemeckis.
All right. Well, let's go with that, then.
Can't argue.
All right. So
you're locking in Zemeckis.
Okay. And the answer is Robert Zemeckis.
Yes! I didn't get to give my answer. Yes.
Again, I did it. Holy crap.
What's going on, dude?
I celebrated prematurely.
I'm going with Zemeckis.
I'm so sorry. I do not know what's going on with me. I apologize, Jonathan. Holy crap.
It's all right. We'll pretend that didn't happen.
It's that owl,
okay,
man.
Here's the
owl.
No, we can't pretend that. Let's just leave that in.
There's your outtake.
Well, no, we're leaving that in.
Okay.
That's good old-fashioned tomfoolery.
Yeah.
Not like it matters.
Okay.
But my answer was Richard Donner.
Actually, that's a pretty good guess, because Donner and Zemeckis did a lot of collaborating together in the background.
Well, yeah, but now that I'm saying it after the right answer has been given, it's a terrible guess. He doesn't respect my answers, Ben.
Well, not when you're saying I'm right in my wrong answer. All right. So, all right, written down. Okay, so your question three and round two is even Chris can ask a math question. Even Chris can ask a math question. Question is, what is the highest prime number between 1 and 100?
Locked in.
Well, don't you want to talk about it?
Not, I'll say, so I'm not locked in.
All right.
But I'm very highly confident in my answer.
So again, the question is, before Ben so rudely jumped in, was what is the highest prime number between 1 and 100?
There's a number that jumped really quickly to mind, working back from 100, but I'm trying to double check it. Oh, shoot. I double checked it, and it turned out it was wrong.
Good thing you double checked
it. I'm glad I double checked, too. Son of a gun, man. Sorry for taking all the time, but it is a math question.
You're good.
We all know IT people can't do math, so.
Not without an Excel spreadsheet.
I was a business person before I was a math IT person.
Doesn't matter. You have the IT stink on you now.
I was going to say, I was not. Jonathan, I wish I could take a picture of your face right now because it is just classic.
Just trying to double check a few things. It's tough, but I'm locked in.
You sure?
I'm locked in.
All right, he's locked in. All right, Ben, Josh, talk it out.
All right, Josh, here's my logic. So there's only one prime number that's even, and that's 2. So we know it cannot be an even number. So working back from 100, you have 99, which is a multiple of 9 and 11. And then you have 98, which is even. And then you have 97, which is not divisible by any of the numbers smaller than it. So my very confident guess is the number 97.
I'm fine with that. That's the number that I've been playing with as well. And I couldn't determine if anything goes into it. So I'm good with 97.
All right. So our answer is 97 as we wait for Jonathan's answer.
Well, not only that, but also, once again, Jonathan's neighbor on a Saturday morning is deciding to hammer stuff up again. It's amazing. This is like the third show that we recorded that they decided, you know what? This painting sucks here. We're moving it over to this wall. All right, Mr. Oaks, I am now going to hear your answer before blurting out the answer itself.
I'm going to miss this question because of basic arithmetic. How do you like that? I wrote down first 97, and then I was like, I'm worried about this number. What if there's a 7 involved here? So to double check myself, I went to 70 and I started adding by 7. And I wrote down 77, 83, 90.
You mean 84, right?
And 97.
Okay.
You see where my mistake was made?
Yeah.
My basic arithmetic led me to 83 instead of 84, which meant 83, 90, 97. It's divisible by 7, therefore not prime. And I went down to number 91 before I could find another prime. So I answered 91.
Oh, man.
Because my arithmetic is bad. So there we go. This is not boding well for my future success in today's show. Please tell us what the answer is, Chris.
The answer is 97.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
All right, Ben.
So IT people can't do math, man.
I couldn't add 77 plus 7, guys.
Well, I tell you, after missing a Lisa Leslie question, there was no way I was missing a math question.
I've been having a bad trivia week, and I've thought maybe the questions have just been hard. No, it's probably just I am having a bad trivia week.
Okay.
I think I'm over-focused at work right now.
Yeah.
And my brain is not shifting where I need it to shift. 97. How do you miss that? Oh, my God.
You need a vacation.
You do need a vacation.
Not arguing.
A trivia vacation.
Yeah. Or just a vacation. Jonathan, you need to reset your brain a little bit, mister. Yeah, all right.
Goodness gracious.
So that, my friends, round two was the tale of two rounds. It was the tale of woe for one and a tale of happiness for another. For woe, Jonathan got 0 in round two.
Whoa.
For happiness, Josh and Ben had a perfect round of 30 points. So at the end of two rounds, it's 40-10. Your round three, question one, is in the category of science.
Science.
All right. In physics, What is the more common term for the Einstein-Rosen bridge? In physics, what is the more common term for the Einstein-Rosen bridge? And it's Einstein-Rosen bridge.
I'm locking in.
Okay.
I don't,
are you sure?
Well, I don't feel like I should know this. There's nothing about the question that makes me feel like I should know it, but I think I might know it.
Very cool.
So I'm surprised by that.
All right. Josh and Ben, what do you got?
I don't know, well, Josh. What you think?
Ben, I'm fairly confident in this answer, but I believe the common term is a wormhole.
Okay. Let's go with that.
All right. So locking in wormhole?
Yep.
Locking okay. in wormhole.
Jonathan.
So I believe that Albert Einstein is the person who presented the theory of wormholes, and I wrote down wormhole.
Okay. And the publication that was released on July 1st, 1935, and the particular problem in the general theory of relativity, Albert Einstein and Nathan Rosen discovered wormholes. That is absolutely correct.
Well, we can't say they discovered wormholes. Okay. They certainly didn't do that.
Well, okay.
They theorized the existence of.
All right. The answer is wormhole. Correct. Sorry. I was trying my best to do
if they discovered wormholes, that would be completely different.
Yeah. I was trying to do flavor text on there. My apologies. That's why I should just read what I have in front of me. The answer is wormholes.
All right.
Nice job.
Back on track.
You feel better, Jonathan?
No. I need
okay.
more.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. Well,
feed the beast.
Question two is history. In what year... And you have to get the exact year, no within two on my watch. And what year did the U.S. complete the Louisiana Purchase?
Complete. Well, all right, I'm locked in.
Okay. Gentlemen?
Ben, is anything coming up to mind for you?
The number or the year 1803 immediately popped into my head.
1803 popped into my head, too. And I don't, you know, I know Thomas Jefferson sent Lewis and Clark. That was the year they... He sent them out. I'm not sure if it was the year they completed, but that's the best I have.
So I'm going to think that completing the purchase is the transaction, not necessarily the exploration. So I think the expedition was 1804 and 5 or 3 and 4. Yeah. They came back the next year. So I think I want to go with 1803, man.
No, I'm good with that, too.
All right. Well, lock it in.
All right. Jonathan.
So I'm confident that the year of the Louisiana Purchase is 1803. But I don't know if there was any loose ends that had to be tied up or any signatures. You know, you send out for signatures and you don't always get them back in a quick, timely fashion. So,
what, they just sent it out by UPS?
Yeah, well, I know, right? they used their Slack to try and get those sign-offs. But I don't have any other years that I could logically choose, so I said 1803.
All right, and the answer is 1803.
Nice
job. So after missing the first two. Josh and Ben, you guys have rattled off six in a row now. All right, so your question three category is famous quotes.
Famous quotes.
All right. What famous Greek physician said the following? Let your food be your medicine and your medicine be your food.
I'm going to go ahead and lock in.
Okay.
Josh, I only know one Greek physician, and that's Hippocrates, where we get the Hippocratic Oath from. So that's my best guess.
Yeah, the Hippocratic Oath, the Hippocrates is what I came up with. There's another Greek physician in Greek mythology, Aeschylus or something like that. I can't pronounce his name, but I don't think they would have attributed to him. So I'm good with Hippocrates.
All right, we'll go with Hippocrates.
Okay. Jonathan.
So all the other guys we know are either writers or philosophers. I went with Hippocrates.
All right, and the answer is Hippocrates. Well nice. Done, gentlemen.
All right. I managed to get all three right that round and still didn't make up any ground. How awesome.
But you're in the groove now, man.
Yes. Jonathan got his groove back.
quit looking at my groove thing. All right?
Gee, you better get your groove thing.
Let me tell you something. Nobody's looked at that in a long time.
Hey. Oh. And true.
Oh. All right.
So after three rounds, the formidable team of Josh and Ben was 70, Jonathan with 40. All right, and now it comes to probably one of my favorite midpoint questions. So this question is inspired by TW listener Chris Klo. What Chris did is he sent me an email of 16 U.S. states that have the same postal abbreviation that is also that also has a chemical symbol attached to it. All right, the category is chemistry road trip.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to give you four sets of travel plans by a chemical name. I want you to tell me the departing state to the arrival state for each trip. You'll get 5 points for each correct destination to arrival.
So you're going to give us four letters.
I'm going to give you actually a total of eight chemicals. And it's four questions. It's four questions total.
It's four pairs.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. And so we're going to go from the start to the finish, start to the finish.
That's correct. Yes.
And we're going to have four pairs. So we're going to give four answers with two answers on each.
That's correct. Yes.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Everybody make sense?
Yes.
Okay. The first one is neon to aluminum.
Oh, geez. It's like that?
Yeah, I knew it was going to be like that.
My.
Show look good tonight.
So again, the first one is neon to aluminum. The second one, argon to calcium. The third one is scandium to manganese. And finally, cobalt to gallium. So again, neon to aluminum, argon to calcium, scandium to manganese, cobalt to gallium. And I want you guys to give me the states that have the same postal abbreviation as the chemical symbol form.
Ben, I've got my answers, and I'm good on three of them. One I'm not too a little shaky on, but...
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Hopefully it's not the same ones.
I hate the difference between manganese and magnesium. Stupid manganese and magnesium. What the heck? All right, I've locked in my answers.
Okay.
All right, Josh. I feel pretty good about 1 and 4. Actually, I feel pretty good about 1, 2, and 4.
3's a little tricky one between, as Jonathan said, manganese and magnesium, but...
I know magnesium is Mg, so I'm going to assume manganese is Mn, which would be Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, what state has the Mg moniker anyway? Yeah, I think Mn is really the only one that fits. So,
so I have Nebraska and Alabama, Arkansas to California, South Carolina to Minnesota, Colorado to Georgia.
I have the exact same answers.
All right. Well, so we'll lock in with that.
Okay. Jonathan.
So I had all of the same except for number 3. I translated manganese into MA and went South Carolina to Massachusetts.
Okay. So the first one, neon to aluminum, is Nebraska to Alabama. The second one, argon to calcium, is Arkansas to California. The third one, scandium, is South Carolina to manganese, which is Minnesota.
Yes.
Cobalt is Colorado to gallium, which is Georgia. So
good job, Ben.
That's awesome. Good job.
That was hard to describe, but that was a cool concept. Who came up with that?
Chris Clough.
Chris Clough, I know we rearranged that, but good on you. That was a cool concept.
Yeah,
that
was a good question.
So, but it was me that came up with the road trip portion of it.
Absolutely. You guys worked together.
Yeah. I loved it. I emailed him last night, and I was just like, I'm excited about this question. I hope you like what I did to it.
That's so cool. I like what you did to it.
So,
even though I lost points on it.
All right. So after halftime, Josh and Ben pad their lead a little bit. It's 90 to 55.
Okay. 90 to 55.
All right.
All right, guys. That's the end of the first half. We will be back with the start of the second half right after this. Holy, holy, holy.
All right. So your round 4, question 1 category is Chris finally gets a Hamilton question in.
Nice.
Finally.
Your question is, what was the name of the Broadway musical that won the Tony for Best Musical in 2009 that Lin-Manuel Miranda created before he created Hamilton?
I'm locked in.
Okay.
Yeah, Josh, this is all you.
Wow.
The only thing I know about Tony is that at one point there were 3 of them and they did some really good R&B music. That's all I know about Tony.
I'm really reaching back. I think Avenue Q is the one that's coming to mind, but I don't know if he was really involved with that. And I don't know if that won Best Musical. Yeah, I don't know. The other one is South Park, but I don't, the guys who did, Book of Mormon, but I don't think he was really involved with that one. I think that that was earlier than 2009. I'm not confident about Avenue Q, but that's really the only thing that's hammering away at me.
Let's just lock in with it, man.
We'll lock in with Avenue Q.
Okay. Jonathan.
I said In the Heights.
All right. So Avenue Q and In the Heights, and the answer is In the Heights.
Good well job. Done,
Yay!
And the streak is now broken for Josh and Ben.
I told you all about streaking in my apartment.
So, all right. Your question two category is in Ben's favorite category, literature.
Literature.
Literature? You got to feel it.
All right, and your literature question is this. What American writer was court-martialed in 1830?
What American writer was court-martialed in 1830?
Yes.
Wow. This is tough.
It's nowhere near as tough for me as it is for you.
I'm happy to read.
But not for the reason that you think.
It's nowhere near as tough for you.
No, this isn't hard.
So it's easy for you?
It's not difficult for me to come to an answer on this.
Oh, wow.
But not for the reason you think.
Okay. Well,
I'm fairly confident about my answer.
So we're going to lock in with Josh's answer.
Okay. So Jonathan, go ahead and talk it out, sir.
So the names that came to mind for me were Stephen Crane, Nathaniel Hawthorne, Poe, and Faulkner. Trying to think of early American writers, right? And Poe is one of the first, like the earliest. I don't want to say he's the earliest, but he's considered one of the first truly American authors. I don't know much about Faulkner. I don't know what his time period was. Hawthorne wrote about earlier periods of time. I believe he was in the 1800s, though. Crane, I thought, was going to be my answer, but I realized The Red Badge of Courage was about the Civil War, so it seems... It's possible that it's him, if he was court-martialed early in life and lived past the Civil War and then wrote about a story that was set in the Civil War, then it could be him. I'm not sure that it feels good to me, though. I'm counting on somebody living an extra 30 to 40 years. You never want to do that. So based on the time periods that I can think of, I'm going to guess Poe.
Okay. Josh, what was your answer?
Well, the first name that came to mind was Melville, and I didn't think that was quite right. And I ended up coming to Poe because I know he was he had a brief foray at West Point in the military. So that's who I circled, was Edgar Allan Poe.
And your answer is Edgar Allan Poe.
Good job. Good job, Josh.
Woo! That was that. I didn't get it because of West Point or military. I didn't have a feeling of military for him. It was strictly time period and who was an early enough American writer. That's how that came.
All right. So nice job, you guys. So your question three category is in food.
All right. Food.
All right.
I should be good at food, but I'm not because nobody ever asked questions about Burger King or Taco Bell.
Well, usually we do, but it's in the warming up Chris question.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. So what fruit has the most protein in it?
What fruit has the most protein in it?
Correct. Or what fruit has the most protein? And it probably is not the most grammatically correct, so we'll just go, what fruit has the most protein?
I'm trying to find an entry point into this question, and I am not even finding one. Let me just start writing down some fruits and see if anything strikes a chord.
Josh has got a big old smile on his face, so he may have a thought process or two.
He's trying to write down fruit. I got a pear and I wrote down bear. I'm going to go with the bear, please.
I love a good bear pudding. Is it a hasty pudding?
So I have a story about pears.
Of course you do.
Do tell.
So my mom's second husband, he had five children. So it was a total of nine people in the house. And so he moved us out to like this half acre, like ranch style home. And there was this pear tree that had to be 30 or 40 feet tall. At first, we thought, oh, this is great. We can just pick pears off of it and we can do things. But we didn't realize the yield that a 30-foot tall pear tree would have. It was like a Bubba Gump situation all over again. We had pear pie. We had pear preserves. We had pear jam.
Wow.
We had pear coming out.
You feed your family.
By the time that last pear dropped, we were sick. We didn't want to see another pear for the rest of our lives. And I don't think I've eaten any pears since then.
Wow. Man. I love a good pear.
I locked in an answer, but it's just a rando guess.
Okay. Gentlemen.
All right, Josh, what you thinking?
Do you have anything, Ben?
So, banana fruit came to mind immediately because it's supposed to be like a superfood. And then I thought about apples. I know apples have good fiber content. I was thinking of what is a common fruit that people put into like protein shakes? You know, what are common flavors? But I couldn't get anything there. So I'm bananas might going to be my best guess.
Yeah. Banana didn't come up in any of mine. I mean, I thought maybe blueberry. I know, you know, that's pretty common for shakes, but I don't know if that has any protein in it. The one that fairly confident maybe is the coconut. I don't know if that, I mean, I don't know if that's considered a bona fide fruit or if that's classified as something else, but that.
You know, coconut feels good to me though. The only thing I'd be concerned about is if it's not classified as a fruit, but I can't see how it wouldn't be.
Yeah.
Because it comes from a tree. So I.
That's good enough for me.
It's not a nut. So I like coconut, man.
Okay. Let's go with coconut.
All right.
Cross our fingers.
Okay. Jonathan, what do you got?
So I spent the most time debating between banana and coconut, and I came down on the side of coconut not being a fruit because a fruit has to have seeds. And I think a coconut is a seed, but I don't think it has seeds. So I kind of came down on the side of it being more like a nut or a legume or something that's a non-fruit. So I moved away from that, and I landed on banana.
Okay, so coconut and banana. Well, this fruit is native to South Central Mexico. It is the avocado.
Oh, yeah! Oh, I should have gotten that.
Wow.
All right.
The avocado. So, man, I feel bad.
You know,
I knew avocado.
It popped in my head, but for whatever reason, I discounted it as a fruit.
Really?
Well, yeah.
And big old seed right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And I pulled up the information just to be ready because I was afraid you guys were going to say that's not a fruit, and it's considered a fruit. Yeah. So
definitely, if I'd have thought avocado for 1 second, I'd have locked in immediately.
So after four rounds, Jonathan, you caught up a little bit. It's 100-75.
I could have gotten one more. Doggone it.
All right, your round five, question one, category is baseball.
All right.
What Major League Baseball player in 2004 broke an 84-year-old record held by George Sisler for most hits during a Major League Baseball season?
Read it again, please.
Absolutely. Category is baseball. The question is, what Major League Baseball player in 2004 broke an 84-year-old record held by George Sisler for most hits during a Major League Baseball season?
I'm so surprised you didn't say Sizzler.
No.
I'm George Sizzler.
I'm holding back.
All right, I'm locked in.
All right, so Jonathan is locked in. Ben, Josh, what do you got?
Josh, I feel good about Ichiro.
Okay, I'll go with you. I'm not. I couldn't really come up with anything, so I'm defer to you in this answer.
All right, we're gonna go with Ichiro.
Okay, Jonathan.
I said Ichiro Suzuki with like 260 something hits, I think.
Do you want to give a guess?
268?
Ben? There is no extra points for that.
259.
All right. With 262 hits for the Seattle Mariners, it was Ichiro Suzuki.
Oh, my God.
Ichiro.
Not Ichirio. His name is not Ichirio. Ichirio.
I don't know. You might want
Suzuki.
That might be the title of the show.
Ichiro Suzuki. I repeated that so many times last night because I knew I was going to botch it up, and sure enough, I did.
You're going to get hate mail from our Japanese listeners. So,
for real, man. I like a Cheerios in the morning. I bet he had a cereal named that, actually.
Probably.
I'm sorry.
Ichi Rose.
Wasn't enough that you guys got the points correct?
I'm irritated that Ben knew that, frankly, because I could have got one up on Josh there, and Ben came home with it.
He probably just named the one baseball player.
I come through in the clutch. You know how I play this game, man. I'm going to be totally useless for 3/4 of it, but I'm going to come through in the clutch.
Ichiro. All right. Your question two category is in awards, and this actually comes from a former guest, our buddy Tara Whittle. Tara, thank you very much. Your award question is this. We have talked in the past on the show about the exclusive club EGOT. That is the people that have won an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony. But that is not the most exclusive club in entertainment. The most exclusive club in entertainment world is the REGOT, R-E-G-O-T. To be a part of this club, you have to win an Emmy, an Oscar, a Grammy, a Tony, and a Razzie. As a matter of fact, this club is so exclusive, it only has one person. Can you name her? Jonathan's going, no.
Oh, well, there's a chance.
All right.
I'm going to lock in.
Okay. Josh, okay. Ben, talk it out.
So, Josh, I'll tell you what's rambling around in my mind.
He was born a rambling man.
I think that I was the first person on this show to ask a question about the EGOT. Maybe I wasn't, but I do remember asking a question about the EGOT and researching this.
Thanks, Chris.
There's only 12 people who ever won an EGOT. Tara. I believe that Whoopi Goldberg was one of those people. And I'm confident that she's had enough horrible movies that she also got a Razzie. So my guess is Whoopi Goldberg.
Okay. Yeah, Whoopi didn't factor into my thought process. I came up with Barbara Streisand. I don't know if she's an EGOT, but I think she won a Razzie.
That's really hard. What would she have won an Oscar for?
The Mirror Has Two Faces,
Did she win an Oscar for that? That was a great movie, by the way.
I don't know if she won for any of the earlier movies, like Funny Girl, if she won.
Did she do stage stuff to win a Tony?
I think that's where she got her start, was on Broadway and then transitioned to movies. But I don't know if she won a Tony at all. I'm not confident in Streisand. If you're thinking Whoopi Goldberg...
I feel better about Goldberg than Streisand.
Okay. Then let's lock in with Goldberg.
Yep. Locking in.
Okay. Jonathan.
It's always interesting when I hear two people do their discussion and the names they're discussing are the same things I was thinking in my head. It came down to Streisand or Goldberg. I just said Goldberg and had Goldberg, the wrestler, pop into my head. And I was like, wait, who the hell am I talking about? I had Streisand and Goldberg in my head as well. And I wrote down and circled Goldberg.
Okay. And the answer is Liza Minnelli.
Oh, wow. Out of left field.
Yes. Holy crap.
So 10 points.
Yep.
To nobody.
10 points to Tara.
That's right. All right, guys. So your question 3 in category 5 is AKA, also known as.
What is it also known as?
Well, AKA.
Oh.
All right. Anyway, your question is, what is the International Criminal Police Organization also known as?
I'm locked in.
Okay.
Josh, pretty sure that's Interpol.
Yep, that's the answer I have.
Locking in Interpol.
All right, Jonathan?
I learned this on Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? It's Interpol.
And the answer is Interpol. Nice job, Jonathan.
I appreciate you coming in and harmonizing. That was nice.
That's right. You know, that was probably one of the greatest, TV theme songs of all time. That song is amazing.
It was a fantastic game for trivia people as kids on the computer. This is back when computers are you right? Computers are kind of new, and you had this thing that was forcing you to think about places all over the planet. That was really great.
Yeah, that's why the game was amazing. Geography, because I used to play that a lot. I loved that.
The game itself was amazing, but that show that song comes from, that song is just
rockapella.
It's fantastic. It's just fantastic.
Okay, so going into the sixth round, you guys held serve. It's 120 for Josh and Ben to 95 for Jonathan.
Man.
All right. So your sixth round questions were all written by TW listener Lucas Clausen. So, Lucas, thank you very much.
We will judge your performance based on how well I do on these questions, Lucas.
Not anybody else, just Jonathan. All right. So your first question category is fun with flags. And by the way, I changed the category names just to let you know. So awesome. Fun with flags. So your question is this. One sovereign country in one U.S. state has a flag which is not quadrilateral. Can you name either? For 5 bonus points, name both. And I even put the pictures up so I can show you guys afterwards.
Oh, can I see now?
No, because the names are on them.
So it was a joke, Chris.
Oh.
Not quadrilateral.
Meaning
it does not have four sides.
Not quadrilateral.
Meaning it does not have 4 sides?
That's correct.
He doesn't need help, Chris.
I'm just a guy sitting here right now.
Just a guy in an apartment on a chair.
That's right. Looking at pictures of flags.
I've got one of them. I am desperate to get the other.
Yeah, this is a chance for bonus points. So.
I know I've run across it before. Just to be clear, we need to state which one is our answer and which one is our bonus?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, I'm locked in.
Ben, I know that Nepal, as a country, does not have a quadrilateral flag. It's, I think, like, kind of jagged like the Himalayas. So I am fairly confident.
Okay.
That will meet the answer. As to the state, I'm thinking Ohio or Oregon. I think Oregon's flag has two depictions on each side. It's not the same emblem.
It should have a Conestoga on it with the words, "You have died of dysentery." That should be the Oregon state flag.
I love that answer.
Yep, you died of dysentery.
I think Ohio is my first state, but I don't know if you've got a better one or if you're confident in yours.
I completely do not have a better answer than that. I don't have an answer at all, in fact. So we're going to go with your answers. So
Okay.
Lock in Nepal and then Oregon as a bonus.
Actually, I think I lean into Ohio as a bonus. I think that's
okay.
That's the one that's I'm more confident in.
All right.
All right. So Nepal and Ohio, is that what you're out saying?
That is what we're saying.
Okay. Jonathan, what do you got?
I went with Nepal as my first answer. It's a double pennant, so it's two triangles, one on top of the other. I said Rhode Island for the state as my bonus. I know I've seen the state flag before for the one, and I've been struggling to remember what it was. I went with Rhode Island.
Okay. So the answers are Nepal and Ohio.
Wow.
Great job, Josh.
Josh, good job. What does the Ohio state flag look like?
Hold up.
Chris is getting up out of his chair to show us. Oh, he just hurt himself.
Yeah.
He's yanking my technology around. Thanks, Chris. Oh, really? That's Ohio's state flag? That's a pretty cool state flag, Ohio.
That's very interesting.
Good on Ohio, man. That's pretty cool. Like if you took a square kind of and cut a triangle out of the end of it, so there's two points on the end, that's Ohio's shape.
I wanted to make sure I had the images for
you. I think that's probably the coolest state flag I've ever seen.
I'm with you.
I don't think I've seen one better than that.
Me too.
Texas has got a pretty cool one, but that's cooler than the Texas state flag.
Well done, you guys, for getting one. And Josh, man, muscled up for Ohio.
I actually lost ground on that. I thought I was going to gain ground.
All right. So your question 2 in category 6 is this or that, meaning you can get this question one way or you can get it the other way.
You can get with this or you can get with that.
There you go. And your question is what river was used for the majority of the border between Croatia and Serbia, or was the subject of a famous waltz composed by Johann Strauss II.
I got this answer. I'm very confident. No,
We'll lock in with your answer so Jonathan can talk so he won't cry like a baby about not being
Wow. You know, we're close enough for me to smack you, right?
Mike,
you know that.
He does have a longer reach than you do, Ben.
That's true.
I said the Blue Danube.
Okay. Josh?
I also said the Blue Danube.
And the answer is the Danube River or the Blue Danube. Correct. Nice job, gentlemen.
I got it from the waltz, not the border. How about you, Josh?
Yeah, the waltz.
I actually had it too. So
very nice. Check you out.
Yeah, man.
All right. So your question 3 category is in movies. What two presidents were portrayed by Robin Williams during his film career?
Oh. Man, I don't know. I had no idea.
Portrayed.
Yeah, so we're talking about real presidents.
He's not making an impression. He's actually
U.S. presidents. U.S. presidents.
I wish he had said, give me one of the two. I think I could do that.
He doesn't look like any of the presidents.
And both movies that I've seen? Yeah. He does. He really does, actually. And Lucas, thank you again for these questions. I thought they were great.
They are pretty good questions, Lucas. You get a pass.
Lucas.
I really like the flag question.
Lucas was only going to give you 2 bonus points. I bumped it up.
Wow.
By the way, yeah.
Should have stuck with 2, Chris.
I forgot you got that one wrong.
Yeah. Holy moly, this is hard. All right, I'm locked in.
Josh, I don't know, man. I couldn't think. I've seen a lot of Robin Williams movies, but I could not find one in my head where he played a president.
Nothing stuck out for me, too. The one thing is what Lee Daniels, the butler, I think he might have been Harry Truman in that movie, but I'm not positive, and I really don't know who he might have portrayed. I'm thinking maybe like someone in the colonial times, like John Adams or Jefferson, but I'm flailing.
Okay, well, Truman sounds good to me. Then I guess let's just pick a colonial president that looks the most like Robin Williams.
That would be John Adams.
That would be John Adams. Yeah, I think Jefferson and Washington were too tall. I don't know, maybe James Madison, but I can't think of a movie that might have had James Madison in it.
All right,
I really can't think of a movie that might have had John Adams in it either. But
well, let's go Truman and Adams anyway, man, just for shiggles.
Let's do it.
So the one that I'm pretty confident in is, I believe he played Teddy Roosevelt in Night at the Museum. But I could not think of a second one. I just guessed U.S. Grant, hoping somebody threw a beard on him because he could have kind of looked like U.S. Grant.
Okay. So the answer is Teddy Roosevelt in Night in the Museum series, and in the movie The Butler, Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Eisenhower. Ah. He doesn't look like Eisenhower at all.
He really did a good job actually looking like Eisenhower, the way they did the makeup and everything.
I thought about Eisenhower and moved away from him because he doesn't have that look.
Yeah.
Huh.
So, and that was a really good movie, The Butler, by the way. It was a very sad, hard movie to watch, but it was a very good movie.
Man, if it had been one, I could have gotten points on y'all, but I didn't because it wasn't.
So going into the final, Josh and Ben, you are still leading 145 to Jonathan's 105.
Oh, bummer.
Going into the gauntlet, the category is political nicknames. Political nicknames.
Interesting.
I have my wager written down.
Okay, our wager is locked in.
All right, excellent. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you three nicknames of various politicians, and I want you to give me their actual name. Okay?
You want their full name or their last name?
You know what? I'm okay with the last name because they're different enough to where there's no Joneses or Smiths out there.
All right.
However, you will get cool points if you do the full name.
Ooh.
All right. So
can I use cool points to catch up?
You'll have to ask them.
Will that help?
So no, all right.
It will not help.
So the first one is the Iron Lady. The second one, the First American. And your final one, the British Bulldog.
Davy Boy Smith. What up, player?
Rest in peace.
So again, those are the Iron Lady, the First American, and the British Bulldog.
Oh, come on. You know you're in there. I don't feel good. I don't feel good. Sorry, I'm taking a minute here.
So you're not James Brown, is what you're saying.
I don't feel good.
Wow, that was great.
Hot tub, huh? Gonna make you sweat, da.
I love that skit.
All right, I'm locked in. I really don't like one of these answers, but I got nothing better.
Okay. Josh and Ben, go ahead and talk it out.
So Josh is like I said, I'm good for one of these. The first one is Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah.
First American, so my logic here is maybe the first major political figure that was born in the United States when they were the United States. So I have a wild guess of Andrew Jackson there, but it could be, I'm not real confident about it. And the third one, I just guessed Churchill because I couldn't think of a pre-1980s politician that would be named that. And I figure they wouldn't name a politician after the wrestlers, so that's why I said pre-80s. What do you got?
Well, I mean, first American, yeah, Jackson. I guess I went with the obvious answer, Washington. I mean, they had that first in our hearts, first in our lives, I believe. So that's – he kind of stuck in there. And Churchill, I think, is the obvious answer for Bulldog. I'm just – I think that's too obvious. I'm just wondering if that's a false sense of security. But I've been going through other – prime ministers and politicians, and I can't think of who else might fit that moniker.
Based on what you say, I think we I would rather go with an obvious answer than to go with a guess. So I think we should go with Thatcher, Washington, and Churchill here. You don't like Churchill, do you?
Yeah, but I can't come up with a better answer than Churchill. And I'm going to be really disappointed in myself. Yeah, I've been watching the new Netflix series, The Crown, and he's on it. And I'm just, you know, other names, Anthony Eden or Harold Macmillan. And I just don't know anything about those guys. You know, I even thought maybe Tony Blair, but I don't think he was really given that name. So Churchill is really the only thing that I can think of. But then you're good with Washington over Jackson, the first American?
I'm good with that.
Okay. Thatcher, Washington, and Churchill.
Yep.
All right. Jonathan.
Thatcher's definitely right. I went with Churchill too. Neville Chamberlain's the other person whose name kind of comes to mind, but it seemed like it had to be Churchill. And the second one, I'm sure I'm wrong, but I went the same tactic that Ben did, and I tried to name the first president who was born in the United States after independence, and I said Martin Van Buren. I thought maybe it could have been Harrison, but he was Tippecanoe, and I thought it could have been Jackson, but he was Old Hickory. So they already had firmly established nicknames. The likelihood that you went with a Martin Van Buren question seems so remote. And so that's why I hate the answer. The other one that it possibly could be would be John Tyler. Is it possible that it's Washington? Absolutely possible. I would hate it if it was, but I said Van Buren.
Okay. The Iron Lady is Margaret Thatcher. The British Bulldog is Winston Churchill. The first American, Ben Franklin.
Ben Franklin's not a politician, is he?
He absolutely was a politician. Are you kidding me?
He didn't hold an office.
No, but that doesn't mean that you're not a politician.
He sure sailed his butt to France multiple times.
That's true. He was an ambassador.
That's not a political move. I don't know what is.
All right. I guess
he was on the Continental Congress.
All right.
He was the ambassador to Britain, too.
He was an ambassador. I wouldn't have considered him a politician. I don't think he ever ran for any public office, but I'm not going to make a fight about it.
Okay.
It's a judgment call.
Fair enough. All right. So now it comes down to wagers. Let's see. Ben and Josh, what did you guys wager?
So we went with 66 because we wanted to cover Jonathan if you got it right.
Okay. So 145 minus 66 is 59 points. Is that correct?
No, that would be 79 points.
79 points. I'm sorry.
If I bet zero, well, guess what? I didn't bet zero. No friggin' way I bet zero. I bet 95.
95.
Yes.
So,
I was aiming for 200.
I told you. I know you like that number.
Ben's laugh. I don't like that number. Yes, I like round numbers. Ben, when he was talking about what to wager earlier, you guys didn't hear it, but he nailed exactly what their strategy should be for betting against me, even though that's unusual for me to bet that high.
So with a total of 79-10, Josh and Ben are the winners of this week's Trivial Warfare. Well done, gentlemen.
Outstanding, Ben.
Good job, Josh.
Man, well done.
My losing streak continues. I don't think I've won in a long time.
It's been a little bit of time. I'll be honest with you. I haven't seen you struggle like this in a while. I don't think ever.
Well, that's not true.
Well, okay.
I got 105 points.
No,
I've had a lot.
You had 10 points.
Oh.
Wow.
I've had 60 points before, so.
That's a fair point.
Daniel Halloween episode comes to mind. All right, so.
That episode was literally scary.
Oh, nice. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
A fantastic job, guys. Josh came on. You did a great job. You and Ben, who more than carried his own in today's episode.
It really did.
Were a really good pairing. I feel like if it wasn't for Ben, we might have been pretty even Steven on our points. I'm not sure, though. It would have been pretty close. So great job. And since you are our guest and you are a first-time guest, Josh Winrick, you are our Warhead of the Week.
Woohoo! Yes. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, guys.
Both Lieutenant Colonel Josh Winrick and Captain in the TWA, Josh Winrick.
Yes. Very nicely done.
So we appreciate your support there. Are you guys ready to read a couple of reviews?
Do we have Let's some more it. Reviews?
We have some more reviews.
Outstanding.
We're actually up to 136.
All right.
Wow. We're on the fight to 150.
All right.
The fight to 150. We have three reviews to read. Let me pull them up. Okay.
You actually had them ready to go, too.
I know. Look at me. You're looking all prepared and stuff
so
over here.
I'm so proud.
All right. So the first one is from E. Barker SC. And E. Barker SC says, it's better than the big skate number in Xanadu. That was the title of his review. It's probably better said, it's better than the big skate number in Xanadu.
Mm.
And he says, seriously, it's the best trivia podcast out there. It's almost as good as the Buffy musical episode. And that's a high bar to clear.
Wow, it really is. That was a good episode.
Questions are well written. They have a semi-regular rotation of, well, semi-regulars, and all of whom bring their own strengths to the podcast. It's like these guys are in your house for game night and you go, who are you people? How did you get in? Please take whatever you want. Just don't hurt me. But really, best trivia podcast out there.
That was a great review.
That was pretty fun.
Oh, that was awesome.
Good job.
Thank you very much.
We also have a review by HalB_MA. He says, the title of his review is very entertaining, despite Jonathan's biases.
Oh, my goodness.
I've been listening to this podcast for a few months. I always find it entertaining. Having involuntarily switched careers due to the financial crisis of 2008, I've been looking for a trivia fix since I could no longer do my Monday nights in Boston at the Elephant and Castle. This podcast hits the spot. Their knowledge of all things post-1995 pop culture is phenomenal. That is a compliment for Chris and Carmella primarily, as we all
I think
know.
I do pretty well before 1995 also, thank you.
I do get infuriated at the obvious result of the 1960s and 1990s American education systems, dates aren't important credo. He's 56. And the way wrong answers I've heard on some history questions in the early days, like the confusion between Richard the Lionhearted, Richard the Third, Bosworth and Hastings, War of the Roses, Hundred Years' War. I think he specifically wrote this after listening to you and Chris Haith go back and forth on those topics.
Yeah.
It's because you guys, that is not your strong suit.
No.
And there was quite a bit of history in those.
I am working on it.
There we go.
For the record, but yeah, no.
He also excuses us not being veterans for our lack of military knowledge. But other than those two personal nits, wide range, broad question base, fantastic job presenting the quiz. It is one of the few podcasts I will listen to multiple times because I think Jonathan, Chris, Carmella make me laugh out loud while sitting at my laptop or driving on my commute. And the biases part of this was the he has declared for Team Carmella because of my anti-Boston bias.
Ah, gotcha. So yes. He would be Team Jonathan if it wasn't for your Boston bias.
Yes, he was with the Patriots during the lean years, and he knows that their reign is coming to an end soon.
Oh,
wow. No, that's what he said.
Oh, okay.
He said, I know the salad years will end with a crash, but you guys are my favorite trivia podcast. Very entertaining. Keep it up, even if Jonathan hates Boston. And he asks, where do you send questions for contests?
That's a great question.
Where do you send questions, Chris?
Well, you could send it to warmitupchris@yahoo.com. Again, that's warmitupchris@yahoo.com. And then also, if there is a question that you might have for one of Jonathan's bonus questions, you can email it where, Jonathan?
No, don't worry about me.
All right.
You could send it to Ben at literature?
It's twaliterature@gmail.com.
So if you want Ben to ask your question, send it there. And if you want Carmella to ask your question, send it to twafirstlady. .com.
At gmail.com. Exactly.
Depending on who you want to ask the question, is going to determine who you send the question to.
That's true. And as you've heard on this show, I like to ask listener submitted questions.
Yep.
Hashtag just saying.
All right. One last review. Deville73. He says the true pub quiz podcast.
Ooh.
I had searched for a while for a trivia podcast that was actually a trivia podcast, and I finally found Trivial Warfare. Fun to follow format led by Chris, Jonathan, Carmella, and Ben. They mix weekly games of playing against each other, inviting others to play, and even inviting others to host. They keep the game moving while sprinkling in humor, and it's fun to play along to score yourself against the players to see how you would actually do. No other podcast has made me feel like I could play along the way that TW does. As an added bonus, they seem to have accidentally created a subplot where you find yourself pulling for upsets, which usually means pulling against Jonathan.
Not lately.
A, not accidental. B, not lately. If you're pulling for upsets, you might want to start rooting for me, buddy.
Maybe we need to start giving you a partner.
Or maybe just take away the other partners.
Yeah, it's possible.
Get back to beating you every day.
Oh, please.
So, high quality pub quiz, ability to play along, proud donor to their work as they make the work seem easy, seamless, and fun. Thank you so much, Davil73. We appreciate everybody who writes reviews.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And please keep them coming. As Jonathan said, we're at 136. Yep. So we got 14 more to get to 150.
14 more to go.
Let's go.
Then we can get up in the club. All right. We have some promotions in the TWA to announce. First off, we have Katie Sikelski. Katie is a new sergeant in the Trivial Warfare Army. Thank you, Katie. We appreciate you. I hope everything is going well with your Inkling Trivia Contest. We look forward to seeing more out of you. We also have a new private, Cameron Spore, at the $1 a month level. Thank you, Cameron. I think I just saw your review come in today as well, so I really appreciate it, Cameron. Thank you. And then last, but certainly not least, and I mean definitely not least, we have a new colonel, folks. Colonel. That's right. That is the $50 a month level. And I didn't think we'd ever get a colonel. I don't even really know what to do. So, Jordan Campbell, my man, Colonel Jordan Campbell, we are certainly going to have you on sooner rather than later. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. That's a significant donation. I don't take that lightly. And it actually, for you guys who don't know me, I put a lot of pressure on myself. That kind of donation makes me put even more pressure on myself. So hopefully we'll be able to live up to it for you. Thank you, Jordan. All right. And I think it's time to go ahead and wrap it up today. Mr. Winrick, is there anything that you would like to say or anything that you want to promote for yourself? Is there anything you want people to know about?
Just that I had a great time being on the show, guys. I really appreciate you asking me. It was very surreal. And Ben, we kicked some butt. Too bad we didn't get that final question. But, keep looking for me out on the Learn League. And hopefully at some point, if anybody's in the D.C. area and they want to play some trivia, give me a shout.
You never know when that might happen.
Yeah. I was going to say, you could always put that out on the Facebook page. And
that's true. We got people everywhere. I have to say, I'm really disappointed because, like we said earlier, Josh beat me head-to-head in a different game earlier this year, and I didn't get my revenge. He's kind of proven that I'm not as good.
Same thing, same result.
All right, Chris, go ahead and get us out of here.
All right, well, Josh, thank you so much for joining us again. And again, thank you so much for the service that you do for us as well. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much. It was great to be on here.
Good deal. Ben, good job, man. I have to take back at least half of the stuff I said at the beginning of the show on you, man. So, well done.
Thanks, man.
And Jonathan, cheer up, slugger. You could get it next time.
Cheer up, slugger. You tool.
You're a little league pitcher now?
Oh, my God. Whoa, that was man. Awesome. That was great. Terrible.
That was awesome. All right. So, until next time, that's Josh, that's Jonathan, that's Ben, and I'm Chris. And this, my friends, is Trivia Warfare, where it's not just trivia. It's war. Take care, everybody.
All right. Bye, guys.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to Trivial Warfare. To learn more about the show and become a warhead yourself, visit TrivialWarfare.com. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes or in any other good podcast app. And find us on Facebook or Twitter by searching Trivial Warfare. This episode edited and produced by me, Joel Sharpton. Find help with your podcast at JoelSharpton.com.
All right, round two, question one. Your category is in ye... Wow. Exactly.